Today's texts are about moving from one place to another. Some people really love this. Some people really love being on the go. They enjoy traveling anywhere, anytime. I remember neighbors I had growing up whose house was just sort of a place to sleep between their trips. Once they retired, they were always on the go, which was great for us because they always brought us back souvenirs. I had a drawer full of t-shirts from places that I had never been. And I was introduced to white chocolate macadamia nut cookies from one of their trips to Hawaii. I mean, it's a life-changing thing, these macadamia nuts. There are others who don't want to go anywhere anytime. Home is just right for me, they say. The thought of sleeping in a strange bed, adapting to different rhythms, is exhausting, not exhilarating. When I lived in rural North Carolina, our folks would joke about taking a tank of Franklin County air with them if they had, for some unfortunate reason, to go to Raleigh or Rocky Mount. For others still, they're happy at home, but they come to moments when they cannot stay and they must go. Some depart their homes from fear and violence. Some seek the hope of a better life elsewhere, or at least a place safe to exist in. There are many among us who've taken grueling journeys they did not want to take, but had to go. We might think of Frodo, who courageously accepted the challenge that was before him. I will take the ring, but I do not know the way. Jesus submitted to the will of his Father at Gethsemane. Take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. I worked with a missionary years ago who said that everyone should have a valid passport and a suitcase in their hallway closet, or they're not open to God's call, he said, which could come at any time to go anywhere. Whether we itch to go or resist it, there's something about going we can't escape. That may explain why John Bunyan's allegory of the spiritual life, Pilgrim's Progress, is the second best-selling book in history ever, only behind the Bible. The Bible could be subtitled, The Progress of the Pilgrims. About 4,000 years ago, a family left Ur of the Chaldeans somewhere in southeast Iraq and settled in Haran in modern-day Turkey. After the patriarch of the family died, his son Abram started hearing voices, and he came to believe the voice he heard was the voice of God, and believed it with such conviction that the message he heard became the icon of the call to faithfulness. Leave your country, your family, and go where I will show you. He believed the voice was God's, and he obeyed. Abram, later called Abraham, is the John Denver of the Bible. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm leaving on a caravan. I don't know when I'll be back again. Never was the answer. Genesis doesn't give us an idea of how he felt about it, whether he enjoyed the nomadic life or whether Haran was just fine for him, thank you. The psychological details are sparse, if non-existent. He heard the voice of God. He obeyed. He went. Perhaps it means something, and perhaps it means everything, that the name Haran, where he was living when he heard the call, means journey or crossroads. The man was at the crossroads. He then stepped out in faith, and it changed everything. Everything for him, for his family, for the world. He left not knowing why he was going or even where he was going. But he went. And he was not a young man, 75 years old when he left. When we're young, many of us have a higher tolerance for sleeping on floors and eating whatever we can grub. When we grow older, many prefer familiarity and comfort. This is not a young man, a prodigal son stepping out for the adventures or the lures of a far country. This is an adult man, an older man, stepping from the crossroads into the unknown. When he does so, he moves through the basic human fears of any age: fear of the unknown, fear of others who are different, fear of powerlessness. He stepped out into a world now constituted by Babel's fall, not anymore of Eden's gentleness. And he would never return to where he was and who he had been before. And this crossroads would not be the last time. His willingness to obey was tested over and over through his life and those who would follow him. The rest of Genesis is the story of Abraham's life and the lives of his children and grandchildren. The narrative widens from the story of one man and his wife to the miracle and near sacrifice of their son Isaac, to his children and their children. And by the end of the first book of the Bible, the little family, the little unlikely family made of Abraham and Sarah, had become this mighty nation. Troubles and heartaches would follow, but the children of Abraham would never forget their ancestor, nor the God they knew is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God calls people to move sometimes, whether they like it or not, and often we sense that stirring in our spirit, but don't know why, because we don't know the big picture, the full story, that which has been written and that which is yet to be written. Each of us is a small part of a God-sized epic of redemption. The particular story of one man is a universal story of the ways God calls God's people. You come to a crossroads and you can't stay there. You will move one way or the other. God calls, and if you hear the call and if you're faithful, you go one way or the other. This is the pattern. This is the way, and it's not always easy. It's why it's remembered in the most exalted form. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham's righteousness before God depended on faith and rested on grace. And so does that of everyone who ever stepped in faith from a crossroads in life. Stepping forward depends on faith and rests on grace. The psalmist, likewise, is on the move. Psalm 121 is the second of the Psalms of Ascent, which are songs by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains to which the psalmist sets his eyes. I lift my eyes to the hills. And then prays the prayer everyone stepping out must pray in whatever geography. O Lord, help me. The rest of the psalm is a comforting affirmation of all the ways God helps those who step in faith. God will keep your foot from slipping by day and by night. The Lord will keep you, will shade you, will protect you from evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in now and always. The pilgrim is able to go forward in confidence in God. She has faith and she rests in grace. In the gospel, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He knows little of faith, and it seems like even less of grace. But he sees something in Jesus that has stirred his spirit. He's felt it, and it moved him to seek and find Jesus by night. There's grace in that, maybe a little faith. Baby steps of faith. We see something in you, he says to Jesus. We see something. No one can do what you do unless God is with them. He's come to a crossroads, whether he knows it or not. The longest journey we ever take isn't a relocation like from Haran to Canaan. It involves no caravans or U-Hauls or cardboard boxes or packing tape. The longest journey is not an exterior journey, but the inward journey. We come to a crossroads of the heart. We feel the stirring. We hear the whispers of a call to change, and we must choose the path we'll follow. The rugged geography of Canaan is a walk in the park compared to the complexities of the human heart within us. The human heart wants to run away when it should stay, and wants to dig into what it has been when it should be open to being transformed. It wants the familiar protections when it should be expansive and generous, and it chases the new and innovative when it should be rooted like a tree by streams of running water. The human heart is a factory of idols, says Calvin, and a disordered lover, says Augustine. But the human heart is the prize of Jesus, and he'll do anything to get it. The story of Nicodemus is our first in a series of Lenten readings from John's Gospel. And in each of these stories, someone is at a crossroads of life and faith. Nicodemus, compelled by Jesus to believe in him and follow him, but can't quite yet step into the light of faith. A Samaritan woman by a well whose life and loves have turned to chaos. A man born blind who's healed and now faces rejection from those who reject Jesus. And there's Mary and Martha, who come to the moment the gospel leads everyone to eventually, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. Do you believe this? It's the crossroads. It's the moment of truth. Do you believe this? And are you willing to leave your comfort for obedience? Do you believe this? And are you willing to climb the mountain in front of you and ascend to God to leave behind the sins which cling so closely? Do you believe this? And are you ready to step into the light? The awakening of this pilgrimage is the discovery of God with you and God within you. The longest and hardest journey is the inward journey. For Nicodemus, it was a path that would lead him to the foundations of his personhood. You must be reborn. And he seems terrified by it, or nervous about it, or just totally confused. And so he obfuscates by turning the sublime into the ridiculous, but Jesus will not let him go that easily. You must be born again. Listen for the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but you know how it touches you right where you are. That's the moment of truth. That's the crossroads of transformation. And it turns out, at the crossroads, when we get there, we're not lost. We're not lost to God, at least. You might say that you're right where you are meant to be all along. You just don't know it yet. But you will. The path ahead from there is a new beginning. It's a fresh start. It's a rethinking of everything that matters. It's an immersion in a grace that takes you just as you are, just as you've become, and transforms you into the new person God is calling you to be. It's a renewal of all that is within. It's a birth into a new faith, into a community that's like a new family. God is a loving parent who gives all who believe the power to become children of God. And this invitation and the calling are still for us to step from the crossroads to set out on holy pilgrimage to be reborn. And so may the Lord come to our assistance in the moments of need and guide our steps in the way of life, that in the kingdom of God we may be blessed and may bless all the peoples of the world in the name and in the power and in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.